We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Thank you. finds its home, and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's Z-I-O-N-H-I-L-L.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
Today I want to talk to you on the subject titled, The Power of His Resurrection. The power of His resurrection. The scripture said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. There is something called the power of His resurrection. And so I thought today, Resurrection Sunday, I want you to learn about that power. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start out by asking ourselves, what do we mean when we talk about resurrection? That term means somebody died, and that somebody came back to life. That is resurrection in a nutshell. It means to raise up that which is dead. I can stop there and have church because maybe you're here this morning and something has been dead in your life. Sometimes it could be a relationship. Sometimes it could be an organ or tissue in your body. I remember going to the doctor one time, and they told me that one of my eyes is dead. It's not uncommon for something to be dead in your life. But the good news, ladies and gentlemen, resurrection means that which is dead in your life can come back to life. Say amen to that. It means that things in your life, in my life, that are in the grave, God can revive it one more time. So anything that is dead in you and me this morning, anything, your dreams, your finances, your health, even sometimes your relationship. Sometimes the devil will make sure your future is dead in your own eyes. The good news is that resurrection means God can revive that which is dead. You also need to know resurrection means that we don't serve a dead God. Our God is alive and well. Amen, somebody. In fact, the Bible says, if Jesus has not risen, if Jesus has not risen from the dead, then all of your dancing this morning, all of your shout this morning is totally in vain. The Bible also said that if Jesus has not risen, even my preaching before you this morning is in vain. So resurrection is very, very important. Without resurrection, Jesus will be just like another prophet or another philosopher over there. You know, we learn about Socrates. We learn about Plato. We learn about Aristotle. A lot of great minds out there. But for resurrection, Jesus will be just another great teacher. All right. The problem with the world today is that we have really neglected the fact that Jesus is alive and well. In most churches, what you hear about is what we call historical Jesus. They talk about what he said, how he lived, but you never hear or see the demonstration of his power. We talk about his miracle. A lot of what he did is just now a myth of just some story to tell. But ladies and gentlemen, Christianity is more than just story. Christianity is an opportunity for you and me to demonstrate the power of God. Because we have reduced Jesus Christ to only a historical God, that is why the churches are not able to meet the needs of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, historical Jesus is when you believe God is good, God is great, but we cannot see the evidence in your own life. The world is seeking real answers to real questions in life. There are many problems in this world. Problem of addiction, problem of sicknesses. People have cancer and all kinds of affliction. They don't need historical Jesus. They want the demonstration of the power of God. Are you still here this morning? The world is asking the question, where is the answer for diabetes? Where is the answer for all these diseases out there? Where is the answer for depression? They don't need just a shout. They need answers and results. These precious people, they go to the doctors. They go to counselors. They go to psychiatrists. Guess what they find? At best, all they get is a bunch of pills. And you can tell that pills will not help you. Because before you leave the doctor's office, they're already making you another appointment. Because they know you need to be back and be back and be back and be back. They're just managing the problem. They have no cure. You need to know this thing called the power of his resurrection. If all you and I got to offer the world is just history, then we have failed miserably. Why did I say that? Because Jesus is not just a man of history. He is here right now. Let that soak in. My message to you, religion cannot bring Jesus into your now. You need more than religion. It's okay to shout. It's okay to feel good. It's okay to have a good religion. But you need more than just that. Ladies and gentlemen, when people come to you in the middle of their crisis, and people look at you in the face and say, sir or ma'am, I am losing my mind. Can you help me? They need more than just you having pity on them. They need more than just your apathy. They are looking for real solutions to life problems. Today, as we gather here, the world is full of complexities. Am I right about it? The world is full of impossibilities. And the only thing that can fix the world problem is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So pay attention to what I'm trying to share with you today. You're going to need it in your Christian journey. Even notice there are problems in our world today that science have no clue. Even the scientists, they will tell you, they will admit to you, we have no clue. I never will forget one of my children went on a medical mission to Africa, and she came back disappointed. I said, baby, what's your problem? She said, here we are. I spent all this year in school, then I got to another continent only to discover there are diseases we've never heard of. Are you listening to me? It will take the power of his resurrection to fix the challenges of this world. Without the power of his resurrection, you and me cannot bring heaven into our situation. Without the power of his resurrection, you and me cannot bring heaven into our crisis. So what is this thing called resurrection power? Ladies and gentlemen, resurrection power is the continuation of life of Christ in the now. If you are not continuing what Jesus did right now, you are missing out in something called his resurrection power. What is this resurrection power? It is the power of God manifesting through you and me. On your job, somebody ought to know that you are anointed. In your school, in your area of business, just because you are there, somebody ought to notice that the wisdom of God is in you. That you are a living proof that Jesus is alive and well. People need to see resurrection power on display in your life. If we say we serve a risen Savior, not a dead Savior, a risen Savior, then they ought to see it in our lives. So I'm appealing to all of us this morning to replace our mentality of historical God with our right now God. Please take note. If we're going to have the power of his resurrection, you need to know there can be no resurrection without first and foremost a death. Many people want power, but they don't want to die. But the Bible says, except a grain of corn fall to the ground and died, it abided alone. But if it falls, if it died, then it will spring forth and bring forth so many fruits. To really experience resurrection, first and foremost, there must be a death. What does it mean to be dead? I'm glad you asked. Death, ladies and gentlemen, is cessation of life. I see some of our lawyers in the house. Under the law, death is defined as when your heart stops breathing. Then they say the Negro is dead. Another legal definition for death is when your brain stops. So even if your heart is pumping, but if your brain quit, They say, you did. Now you see why nobody wants to die. We need to ask the question, if nobody wants to die, where does this thing called death come from? Now, it might surprise you to know that it was God, not the devil. It was God who created death. Nobody knew of death. Nobody heard of death until God called Adam and Eve. He said, hey, boo, got to tell you, there's a boogeyman not too far from you. His name is Death. Don't panic now. He has no power over you. But the day you mess with this tree, you're going to die. So it was God's idea. In other words, death, ladies and gentlemen, is powerless, but you can activate it by sin. And that's exactly what happened. Mankind sinned and death came into our life. And as a result, since then we've been all dying. In fact, we cannot stop it. We cannot control it. So death is just taking people away. Loved ones, relatives. We cannot escape death. In fact, the Bible is so sure about it. It says, all of us have an appointment with death. Did you know that the greatest fear of human beings today is death? Some people are afraid of heights, some people are afraid of different things, but the greatest fear is death. Ladies and gentlemen, religion recognized that, and they've been trying to address that problem. Various religions of this world, they're coming up with theories. One religion says, well, you don't really have to worry so much about death because there's something called reincarnation, that you get a chance to come back again. That's their way of appeasing you. Once you die, you don't come back to this planet. They just try to appease you. Another religion say, well, don't let it scare you too much because there is a place called purgatory. And that's where you're going to go hide out. Again, they're just trying to help you. Because we all have this problem called death. Some people even suggest that there must be a place called paradise. So when you die, then you go to this place and hang out. But notice, Christianity offers a real answer to death. And what Christianity offers is this thing I'm teaching you about today. It's called resurrection. What makes Christianity so different and so powerful is that you can literally see somebody dead. And then you see that somebody come back to life. That's what we call resurrection. If you don't believe me, ask Lazarus. Lazarus was a brother just like you and me. He died. But after he died, after he was buried for 4 days, and the Bible records he was now stinking. But God raised him back to life. Resurrection. So what I'm talking about now is not some kind of extraterrestrial power that is only reserved for Superman or angels. You, as an ordinary human being, you can experience the power of his resurrection. If you don't believe me, you ask Mr. Jairus. His daughter was sick. 12-year-old girl, sick as she could be. She was, the father was looking for help, ran to Jesus. But before he could get Jesus to his house, there was message from the house. They said, don't trouble the preacher anymore. Your daughter is what? Dead. And you will recall, ladies and gentlemen, how Jesus told him, hush your mouth. If you can only believe, that's a word for somebody today. I don't know what you're going through, but if you can only believe God, God can bring you out of it. You know what happens to that 12-year-old girl? Jesus helped her to experience a resurrection. Again, we see Jesus one day just walking by the neighborhood, and he ran into a funeral procession. Folks, them do the homegoing ceremony. Now they're on their way to the cemetery to dismiss the body. And the Bible says Jesus touched the casket. And the dead boy inside the casket got up. So this power, this resurrection power I'm talking about, can be experienced by ordinary human being. Ladies and gentlemen, but you got to be willing to die first. Without a death, there can be no resurrection. So Jesus came to this world. His goal was to save you and me from our sins. But he had one problem. You know what Jesus' problem was? He has never committed any sin in his life. The only thing that activates death is sin. That's why Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. So when Jesus showed up trying to help you and me, death has no power over him because he was sinless. Death cannot hold anybody that is with no sin. So what Jesus did, he outsmarted death. Guess what he did? He came to this planet and then he took your sins and took my sin and took your sins and put all of our sins on himself. Now death could knock him out. There's a lesson there. If Jesus took all your sins and he took all my sins, that means the death has no more power over you. So I don't care what you have done. I don't care where you've been. You need to receive the revelation that death has no power over you. Say amen to that. Ladies and gentlemen, many of you are still walking around with guilt. But when you realize that no matter what you have done, Jesus came and took and paid the price for your sins, for my sin. Let me put it in plain English, because I'm from the jungle, you know. Imagine somebody trying to shoot you. And he point his gun at you. And now you are an easy target. All he need to do is to pull the trigger. Imagine that person is death, trying to kill you, trying to kill me. But Jesus jumped in front of you. and took the bullet. I just explained the Bible to you in 1 minute. Jesus simply came to this world. The things that could have happened to you, he took the bullet for you. There's a lesson there, because if somebody took the bullet for you, you owe that somebody for the rest of your life. The reason why many of you are acting a fool, you don't pray, you don't go to church, you serve God when it's convenient for you, is because you have no appreciation for what Jesus did for you. If somebody take the bullet for you, you owe him for the rest of your life. I tell all my children all the time, I don't need silver and gold from you. The one thing I do need from you, always acknowledge God in all your ways. Find your way to the church house. Never get too busy to serve God. Never say, oh, I'm so busy on my job. Oh, I have this deadline. The person who took the bullet for you is the servant of all your praise. That is why even when you come to Jesus, when you come to church, praising God ought not to be an option for you. Praying to God, serving God, ought not to be at your convenience. When you look back over your own life and see things that could have happened to you, and see things that almost happened to you, and here you are, you are still clothed in your right mind. Every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. Amen, somebody. Jesus took the bullet for you and me. He died for the sins of this world. And then here comes world age religion. Because, you know, black folks, you be tripping too. You're now trying to worship some Yahweh, some Hebrew, whatever crazy religion you're coming up with. That's the devil trying to trick you out of the presence of God. And in all this funny religion, New Age religion, they will tell you, well, Jesus never really died. He was beaten up bad, but he survived. You know why? Because they are trying to prove, they're trying to distort the truth. Just like you are experiencing in America today, there's all kinds of conspiracy theories. People want to twist the truth. They will tell you crazy things that, yeah, there was really no slavery time. Black people just chose to come for a ride. Conspiracy theories. People like to twist the truth. And you got to learn to stay with the truth. Because the Bible said when you know the truth will set you free. The truth is that Jesus came to this world and Jesus literally died. Brother Pastor, how can you prove that? Well, I'm glad. One of the joys of being a lawyer is being able to prove your case. The Bible made it very clear that when Jesus was on the cross, when he screamed in a loud voice, "It is finished," the Bible says he dropped his head. And he gave up the ghost. You know what that means? He died. So don't let anybody fool you that Jesus never died. He died. And then you will notice that later on, the soldier came to ascertain that Jesus actually died. In the book of John, chapter 19, verse 31 to through verse 33, the Bible said it was preparation day. And under the Jewish law, preparation day means the day before Sabbath. And under the Jewish law, you don't allow a dead person to hang on the cross on a Sunday morning. So the Jews, they came to the leaders of the government. They said, look, we remember that we have a law in place. We don't want a dead person on the cross on our Sabbath day. So help us to go break the legs of all those people that are crucified. You know why they want to break their leg? Because when you are hanging on the cross, the only way you can last long is through your leg pushing up so you can catch your breath. So they want to break their leg so they won't be able to push up, so they would die quickly. And the Bible said they went to all three of them trying to break their legs. They broke the leg of the first thief. They broke the leg of the second thief. But when they got to Jesus Christ, the soldiers noticed he's already dead. So never believe any theory that Jesus didn't really die. So you see the evidence from the soldiers. You see the evidence from another soldier who came and put spears in his side. Some of you are in the field of medicine. The most important medical proof that a person is dead is when you pierce his side. If blood come out, you know he's still alive. But in this case, the Bible says blood and water came out. Ladies and gentlemen, again, this is another proof that Jesus, it was not just make-believe story, he actually died. Then, of course, the Bible record of women who embalmed his body after he was dead. Well, when you get a chance, talk to a funeral director and let them tell you what will happen to a person whose body has been embalmed. He or she is dead. Your body cannot be embalmed and you are still alive. Ladies and gentlemen, so we know without a doubt that Jesus died on the cross. Well, I told you, you cannot have resurrection without death. And I just proved to you that Jesus died. But what is the proof that he resurrected, that he came out of that death? Ladies and gentlemen, you will see in the Word of God, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 63 through verse 66, the Jews came to the government. You know what they told the government? They said, we remember that joker. All right. How he was running his mouth. And he said, if you kill him, he will get up in 3 days. Right. So the Jews asked the government, please, sir, let's put a big stone to block that grave. Please, sir, let's put a seal on that tomb that nobody should come near. You've seen it even in your world today. If the police don't want nobody to come into this building, they will tie up a yellow ribbon there. That's to tell you, you cannot enter that building. The lawyers in this house will tell you, all of them, don't be fooled by their three-piece suit. They all have a seal. We call it notary seal. That's what we put on a document to say this is authenticated. So they put a seal on that tombstone that this is off limit to anybody. Then the Jews requested for something else. They said, we want a god. A Roman god back then is comprised of 16 soldiers. So they had 4 soldiers in front of the tomb, 4 soldiers behind the tomb, 4 soldiers on both sides. There ain't no way anybody in that tomb can escape. And you know something else under the law? If you have a prisoner or a dead man in your hand and you let that person escape, you're going to be dead. So those soldiers are not playing. They guard that tomb. They make sure that tomb is secured. But then you'll find out later on when the women came, there was nothing in the tomb. Ladies and gentlemen, what has happened? Jesus Christ got up from the dead. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't miss the story of his resurrection. It is not a fairy tale. Jesus, in fact, died. Jesus, in fact, was buried. Jesus, in fact, got up on the third day. Ladies and gentlemen, if you read the book of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning from verse 11, those guards, those soldiers, they ran into the city to report what has happened. That we were on our post, securing the tomb. But all of a sudden, there was an earthquake. All of a sudden, an angel showed up and rolled the stone away and sat on it. We couldn't stop him. When they reported that to the government said, oh no, we cannot allow that story to get out. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to hush your mouth. We're going to pay all of you big money. And if anybody asks you, you are the security guard that night, what happened? You have to tell the story that all 16 of you were sleeping, and while you were sleeping, the disciples of Jesus Christ came and stole the body. And they paid them off. By the way, that payment is called hush money. You ever heard that Donald Trump paid somebody hush money? That's money we pay you to shut up. Don't tell nobody what happened. So hush money is not a new thing. It's been going on for thousands of years. These soldiers were paid off. And that's why they told the story, conspiracy theory, that they were all sleeping. And while they were sleeping, the disciples came. I ask the question, well, if you all were sleeping, how do you know it was the disciples that came? So their story don't even add up. But again, this shows clearly that Jesus did get up. The book of John, chapter 20, verse 1 says, on the first day of the week, the ladies came, and when they got to the tomb, there was nobody there. Jesus had risen. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to know there is a resurrection. You need to know that Jesus is risen. Even the angel, when the ladies got there, the angels told them, don't be afraid. We know who you're looking for. He is no longer here. He is risen. Just like he told you. And they told those women where to meet him. So resurrection is for real. It's so real, the Bible say, when they looked into the tomb, not only is Jesus gone, the lining, the shroud that they wrapped Jesus up was still there. And it was folded neatly. So there is so many evidence that Jesus not only died, but he rose again. Ladies and gentlemen, the women reported to the disciples, but you know back then, a lot of these disciples, they did not believe the women. And the same thing is still going on today. That's why you hear some churches, they will say, well, I don't believe in women preaching. I don't believe in women pastor. I don't believe in women. You're ignorant. If God can use a donkey, God can use anyone. So the disciples themselves, they have to go to the tomb. Peter was one of those. Peter ran there. And I can just see in my imagination how Peter was peeping. Because they don't believe what the women told him. And Peter was shocked to discover it is true. Jesus is risen. The disciples one day, they were gathered in the upper room, scared. And the Bible says Jesus walked through the wall and entered into their midst. Guess who was present? Mr. Thomas. Doubting Thomas. And Jesus said, hey, boo, check my hands. Look, feel my fingerprint. Before it's all over, even Thomas was convinced that Jesus, whom he witnessed dead, is now alive. Then the Bible talks about so many sightings for the next 40 days. They were running to Jesus all over town. So there's proof after proof after proof that Jesus not only died, but he rose again. The question must be asked, okay, Pastor, I got it. What does that mean to me today? I'm glad you asked. What it means to you today is three things. How many things? Three. Number one, because Jesus is risen, all your failures, they're not final. Oh, I wish I got me a witness in the house. See, as I'm standing in front of you now, I wish I can tell you I've never done wrong. But I've been lying. I've made mistakes. I've seen I've done wrong. But it's good to know. I said it's good to know. All my failures, all my mistakes, they are not final. So if you're here this morning and you've been through something or you've done something wrong, hold your head up. You don't need to walk around in guilt. God has forgiven you. Jesus paid the price for all your sins. Amen, somebody. I have a reputation in this community. People will tell me, why you hang around so many bad people according to their own definition? They will say, some of your preachers, no good. Some of your deacons, no good. In fact, one lady literally recorded my deacons. He said, Pastor, here is the evidence. Your deacon, no good. Some of them will tell me, your musicians, no good. One preacher, literally, I have some preachers, they come and join our church, and their former pastor wrote to me, say, don't take that woman. She no good. And they're always asking me, why is it that you are comfortable with this bunch of riffraffs? And you know what my answer is? If you know me, then you won't be talking like that. I'm no good either. It's just the grace of God. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. So I have good news for somebody today. It don't matter where you've been, it don't matter what you have done, Jesus died for your sins. That price is paid in full. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
And I'll tell you another reason why this resurrection story is very important to you. It is important because the Bible said the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power dwell inside of you. Did you hear what I just said? Many of you, you're walking around like you are defeated. You're walking around as if you have no hope. You're walking around as if you have no future. You're walking around as if everybody else is making it, but you are left behind. If you only know the power of God in you, you will change your thinking concerning your own sin. The Bible says the same power. Not a different one, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That power dwells inside of you. Say amen to that. That is why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. If you only know what you got, you won't stay depressed. If you only know what you got, you won't let nobody's opinion affect you. If you only know what is inside of you, you will know that your future is bright. Your future is promising. Your future is full of destiny help. Amen, somebody. Let me tell you one more reason why resurrection story is so important to you. It is important because even after this life, when you're dead, it's not the ending. The Bible says Jesus will return again and the trumpet will sound. And guess what? All the dead in Christ, they shall rise up. So I don't know about you. Maybe you like me. Maybe your loved one has gone on to be with the Lord. See, as I stand before you now, my mama is gone on to heaven. Can I tell you the little secret about me? I never had to cry. She lived a long life. She knew the Lord as her Savior. I know exactly where she is. I know exactly who she's with. And I know that one day, when this life is over, I'm going to see my mama again. So be encouraged this morning. Your failure is not final. Be encouraged this morning. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you. Be encouraged this morning that even all of our loved ones that are gone on before us, the death of a Christian is not final. That's why Jesus said to Mary, Sister Mary, chill. I am the resurrection. He said, I'm not just raising people up. I am the resurrection. I am life. Nobody can believe in me and stay dead. I'm going to ask all of you to stand to your feet. If you're here today and you want that resurrection power to manifest in your life, if you really want to see your loved ones again, if you want to know that your failure is not final. And if you want that same power that raised Jesus from the dead to dwell in